ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 40, The Advent of Lord Krishna Introduction. Brajans tistan padaikena yathai vaikena gacchati yatha trina jalokaivam Dehi karma gatim gataha Prajan. A person while traveling on the road. Tishtan, while standing. Pada ekena, on one foot. Yatha, as. Eva, indeed. Ekena, another foot. Gacchati, goes. Yatha, as. Trinajaloka, a worm on a vegetable. Evam, in this way. Dehi, the living entity. Karmagatim, the reactions of fruitive activities. Gataha, undergoes. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Just as a person traveling on the road rests one foot on the ground and then lifts the other, or as a worm on a vegetable transfers itself to one leaf and then gives up the previous one, the conditioned soul takes shelter of another body and then gives up the one he had before. Purport. This is the process of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. At the time of death, according to his mental condition, the living being is carried by the subtle body, consisting of mind, intelligence, and ego, to another gross body. When higher authorities have decided what kind of gross body the living entity will have, he is forced to enter such a body, and thus he automatically gives up his previous body. Dull-minded persons who do not have the intelligence to understand this process of transmigration, take for granted that when the gross body is finished, one's life is finished forever. Such persons have no brains with which to understand the process of transmigration. At the present moment, there is great opposition to the Hare Krishna movement, which is being called a brainwashing movement. But actually, the so-called scientists, philosophers, and other leaders in the Western countries have no brains at all. The Hare Krishna movement is trying to elevate such foolish persons by enlightening their intelligence so that they will take advantage of the human body. Unfortunately, because of gross ignorance, they regard the Hare Krishna movement as a brainwashing movement. They do not know that without God consciousness, one is forced to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Because of their devilish brains, they will next be forced to accept an abominable life and practically never be able to liberate themselves from the conditional life of material existence. how this transmigration of the soul takes place is very clearly explained in this verse. It's Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budle Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Om Ajnana Tivarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Now, today we heard, after Mangalartik, a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to one of his GBC sannyasis at that time, 1972, it was Bali Mardan. He was GBC temple president sannyasi at the New York temple. And Prabhupada wrote this letter because previous to 1972, there was not a strong emphasis on mass book distribution. Devotees would chant in the street, someone would hand out some magazines, get 50 cents, maybe a dollar. It wasn't the mood of the devotees. And then Prabhupada wrote this letter. In just a few lines, he smashed us all. He said, "What is the use of your 3 minutes of preaching? If a person reads just one line of my books, his whole life can be changed." So when that letter was received by the devotees in New York, Bali Mardan, he read it to us. I was serving here. We were doing, you see here, in Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatams, after the first canto, there are the word-for-word translations. Now, after the first canto, Prabhupada didn't do those word-for-word translations. His Sanskrit team did them. Prabhupada would do the translation and the purport. So, for instance, we know Trinadapi Sunichena. Trina is just like grass. And Sunichena, even if you trample on grass, it'll go down, then it'll come back up again. So, Prabhupada would translate Trina as grass, and here the translators translated it as vegetable. So, sometimes you'll find differences. So, Srila Prabhupada, the point is, we were serving in the press at that time, painting, editing, proofreading, photographing. And when that letter came from Srila Prabhupada, that if someone just reads one line of my books, his whole life can be changed. The whole mood of ISKCON changed. That the most important thing is, and later Prabhupada said, even if they touch my books, their life can become purified. So then the emphasis became on book distribution in ISKCON from 1972 onwards. And we all made a huge effort to distribute Prabhupada's books as much as possible, because what is the use of our three minutes of lecturing? So here we have Vasudev. Vasudev doesn't even have 3 minutes. He has the time it takes for a sword to be raised and put upon somebody's neck. He has maybe 10 seconds. And now we're on the third verse. Third verse, he's in his heart, he's agitated like anything. He's so fearful. How will I save my wife? The omen has just been given that this wife of his, and he had 16 wives, they were all sisters of Devaki. So Devaki was the prominent, the principal wife. So they all knew then that this horrible Rakshasa, Kamsa, would be killed by the eighth son of this wife of Vasudev. And Kamsa, therefore, wanted to kill her. So Vasudev, he starts out very cheerfully, smiling, duplicitous, using diplomacy. In his heart, he was so frightened that what is this Rakshasa going to do? And externally, he was very polite, very respectful, flattering Kamsa, that you are the king of the Bhojas, that you are so, your reputation is known all over the world. How can you kill your own sister? Her marriage day, your younger sister? So he starts out, he said, from the moment you were born, you started to die. He said, let's say you're 25 years old. That means you've already died 25 years. So that was his first explanation to try to catch Kamsa's attention. After he flattered him, then he started to inject a little philosophy that, why are you so afraid of death? The death is born with the body. Then he said, and what happens to this body when you finally do die? The body just disintegrates into the five elements because we're not this body anyway. You already know because they all had the same training, same soil, same water. They were all brought up in the same schools for the Kshatriyas. So Kamsa knew. He knew that the soul is eternal, and if you perform pious activities, you get elevated. If you're cruel and sinful, you go to hell. He knew all of this. But because of his demoniac nature, he couldn't control himself. So Vasudeva, he was saying, this body, it doesn't mean anything. It's going to die anyway. If it dies today, if it dies in 100 years, for sure you're going to die. And now he's on the third 10 seconds he has. So in 10 seconds now, third shloka. So he's explaining, it's just like when you walk. This is to take Kamsa's mind off the thought of murder. It's just like when you walk. You take a step. All right, Kamsa says, all right, I take a step. Braja. Braja means to, that's why this Vrindavan Dham is called Braja. Krishna used to walk here. This is where he did his Braja Leela, walking around with the cows. So he starts out. Braja, okay, you take one step here. So you take one step, you make sure the ground is solid, then you take another step. So he was distracting Kamsa's mind from the thought of murder. So then Kamsa was listening because he had respect for Vasudeva. Vasudeva being a devotee, and Vasudeva also always remembered, because we heard yesterday about genetics and how Kamsa, genetically, from both sides, mother and father, he had demoniac background. So therefore something was there, something demoniac from birth. Vasudeva, on the other hand, at the time of his birth, the demigods in the sky, his other name is Anaka Dundubi, Anek Dundubi. Dundubi are big drums. And the demigods in the sky, they were beating so many drums in jubilation when Vasudeva was born, because it was already predicted. They already knew that Krishna was going to take birth from Vasudeva. He would be the father of Krishna. So Vasudeva had that Sukriti, he had that sanskar from birth. He felt he was going to be successful. Now this is the way devotees always have to have the mentality. They have to be assured of their success even in the face of the greatest danger of the biggest demon. Why? Because a devotee has all the qualities of a demigod. That's in the fifth canto. That when one becomes a devotee, automatically all the qualities of the demigod are manifested in his body. So, Kamsa, being a demon, he even respected Vasudeva, because Vasudeva was truthful, he was upright, he was pious from his birth. So when Vasudeva was giving him good counsel, he stopped. He didn't let that sword go down. If it were anybody else, we don't know what would have happened, because nobody was as good a diplomat as Vasudeva. Now Prabhupada, he goes on to explain, and Prabhupada explains this in other letters and in other purports, that even devotees sometimes have to be duplicitous and use diplomacy. And he used examples. Previously, we would get arrested if we had Sankirtan on the street, and especially what they would use for the purpose of arrest was that we were panhandling, we were begging money, because they considered the handing out of the books and the magazines to be a form of begging, and you have to have a license to beg. So they would throw all the devotees in jail. So the devotees wrote to Prabhupada and asked, what should we do? We keep getting thrown in jail. So Prabhupada said, he wrote back to them. He said, when you're dealing with shatta means a clever, a low-class person who you can't trust at all, you have to be the same way. That is the only way to deal with them. If they're clever, you have to be more clever. So what you do is you set up a book table next to the chanting party, and you put your books on the book table, and if the police come and they accuse you of begging, you say, we're not begging, we're handing out books. If someone puts a donation, that's up to them. We're not asking for anything. So that way you'd be more clever. Now the devotees, because they had to go into very dangerous situations. For instance, we all know Indradumna Swami. So he was one of the earliest devotees who used to enter the USSR, the communist countries. And in the communist countries, the leaders are so demoniac that just by worshiping God, you can be put in jail. So he had to be very clever. So what he would do is he would grow a mustache, grow his hair, and in his suitcase while entering Russia, he would put bottles of liquor, sharab, in his suitcase. And when they would ask him, what are you coming to our country for? He said, oh, I'm a vodka salesman. I sell liquor. And I want to sell liquor in your country. So they welcomed him very happily. And then as soon as he got in the country, he started his preaching. So sometimes, even devotees have to counter out the demoniac qualities of the leaders, of other people who are trying to stop us from our preaching. We have to become more duplicitous than they are. So Prabhupada warns. He says that the reason Krishna created this whole material world is to give an opportunity for people to become elevated to go back to Godhead. But our biggest problem is the leaders and the rulers. They try to stop this process. So therefore, Krishna has to come every once in a while and remove these leaders. So Vasudeva, in these few seconds, he just has a few seconds. He's successful so far. In three slokas, he's been able to stop Kamsa. But then he realized, because if you give a rascal good advice, they just become angrier. So he said, all right, I got this far, but I can't continue because he's a demon. I can't keep giving him good advice, I'll just get angry. So then he went to the next, he went to Don. He pacified him, then he went to, all right, let me offer him a gift. So then Prabhupada, he later explains that anyone who wants to be a leader, they have to learn this diplomacy. And he gives an example that a king and a citizens, all their king and all of his citizens are always at odds because everyone wants to be the supreme controller and the king is the supreme controller. So sometimes there'll be a leader amongst the citizens and that leader will make agitation, rebellion. So what the king has to do is, first he has to pacify. He calls the leader. He said, you're such an important man in society. Why are you bothering with these small things? Then he pacifies him further. He gives him some gift. He said, I'll make you a governor. I'll make you a minister. You'll have a big salary. You'll have a big post. You'll get a bungalow. Don't worry about these little things. You look for the big things you can do by being my minister. So then you win him over. And this is also what the English did with Gandhi. They took him to England. They made him into a big man. So the English knew what to do here. They knew how to completely destroy the whole civilization here by this Sama, Dana, and then Beda. So if that leader does not accept the gift, no, I don't want your position. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Then comes Beda. Beda means divide and conquer. Get rid of this part, get rid of this part, put these people in jail, and then speak against the leader. In that way you divide and you conquer this rebellion. And if even that doesn't work, if the people are so determined that no, we want to rebel against this king, against this leader. Then the last one, Prabhupada, he quotes Latin, argumentum baculum. He said, there's no sense arguing anymore. Put them in jail or put them in front of the firing squad. That's, in Sanskrit, it's called danda. It's bus, finished. I tried my best, you're done. So Prabhupada says we have to learn this if we want to be leaders. And he's giving the, here in Srimad Bhagavatam, we're learning from Vasudeva how to win over the biggest demon of the time. Now, later, Krishna didn't actually consider Kamsa to be a big demon. He considered him to be a coward. Because we heard it yesterday about fear. Because of that fear, he became petrified. I'm petrified in fear. I can't move because of fear. So Kamsa never came out of his palace. Just like the modern day rulers, he would stay in his palace and send everybody else out to get killed. So, but he had spies also. He was so absorbed 24 hours a day in thinking of Krishna as his enemy, how he was going to kill him, that he sent spies. Every day the spies would come out. What did Krishna do today? He hated Krishna. But 24 hours, what did he do today? Where did he go? Who was he with? Who were his favorites? So then the spies would say, well, from what we see, his favorites seem to be the calves. The calves. Call Vatsasura. So Vatsasura comes. Vatsasura, you go. You kill them. So he was sending Vatsasura to get salvation, to get liberated. So everything, Kamsa, 24 hours a day, he was meditating on what Krishna was doing because he wanted to find out a way to kill Krishna. What did Krishna do today? Oh, he subdued Kaliya, your friend Kaliya, who you sent to the Jamuna. He subdued Kaliya. More fear, more anger. There are different bhavas in this particular mellow, rasa. The bhavas, they try to overcome each other. Just like devotees, we have different bhavas, the anu bhavas, the sattvic bhavas. So these bhavas, sometimes we have tears in our eyes, and then as we're crying before the deities, we know we're not supposed to cry, so then our hairs stand on end. So these bhavas, actually they compete with each other in the body of a devotee. So the bhavas of the demon are different. Their bhavas are envy, hate, fear, anger. And these bhavas would compete with each other in Kamsa's body. He would become furious. And then he would become so envious. So when he heard that Krishna had defeated Kaliya, then what happened? What did he do next? Where did he go? Oh, then, because it was late at night, they all took rest near the bank of the Jamuna. Ah, this is my chance. So then he sent his messengers to start a big forest fire all around the bridge bossies. So nothing worked because Krishna was there to protect his devotees. He just swallowed the fire, finished. So whatever Kamsa tried to do, he was a failure. So Krishna had no respect for him. If he's a big demon, then Krishna, he had to come as Nrisimhadev to protect his devotee, but Kamsa was nothing. Krishna said, okay, he sent Aga to swallow me. No. He sent Baka to swallow me alone. I killed Baka. Then he sent Aga to swallow me and my cowherd boyfriends. Well, I killed Aga. Then Indra, Krishna included Indra amongst the list of demons because he had become envious of Krishna. So then Indra came to swallow all of the bridge bossies. So then I defeated Indra. So who is this Kamsa? Kamsa, he can't come out of his palace. He's just like an ant with broken legs. Now how powerful is an ant with broken legs? They can't come out of there. It can't even move. So that's the way Kamsa, that's the way Krishna saw Kamsa. Nothing at all. not a big demon at all. He wasn't worried in the least. In fact, Kamsa was helping Krishna because he would play. He would have fun killing these demons that Kamsa was sending all the time. And finally, Kamsa, between his fear, his anger, his envy, his hatred, I mean, he was just so overcome with all these bhavs. So this is called bhava svabalya. That one after another, all these bhavs were overcoming Kamsa. So he couldn't even control himself. He couldn't even move because of these bhavs. He was stunned by all these bhavs. So one devotee, we all know him, Nalini Kanta. He comes here, he's an astrologer. And he was reading Prabhupada's books. And he had a question for Prabhupada. He said, I read in your books, you mention envy. You said that men kill cows out of envy. How do we envy the cows? Because when we think of envy, we think, well, they have something we want. What do cows have? They have some grass. They have a place to lie down. So are we envious of their grass, of their place to lie down? So Prabhupada, can you give me a definition of what you mean by envy? So then Prabhupada, he defined it. He said, the cow has a right to live, but you stop the cow from living by killing it. That is envy. The camel, his food is thorny bushes. So the camel has a right to eat the thorny bushes, but you stop the camel from eating the thorny bushes. So anything that has a right to live, has a right to eat, if you stop that natural activity, that's called envy. So envy meant Krishna, he was enjoying with his friends, but Kamsa, out of his envy and his fear and his hatred, he was constantly trying to stop Krishna from enjoying his pastimes. So the demons, they're completely controlled by these negative emotions. And this propels them to perform more and more sinful activities. But Kamsa, he was intelligent enough because, first of all, why did Kamsa get salvation? He wasn't such a big demon, as Krishna said. But Krishna comes, when Krishna personally kills the demons with his own hands, they get salvation. Now, why did Krishna bother to kill this little ant with broken legs? That's because Narada Muni was watching these pastimes. And because Kamsa had gotten educated in Atma Tattva, he knew about the soul. He knew about the transmigration of the soul. He knew about the hellish planets and how to go there. And he also knew about Vishnu. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata. He knew a little bit about Vishnu. And Narada Muni had told him that in your last life Vishnu killed you. So he knew that Vishnu could not be killed. He knew that much about Vishnu. So therefore, Narada Muni, he was trying to get Kamsa to become such a big demon that Krishna would personally come and kill him. So as soon as Narada Muni saw that Kamsa was experiencing and expressing any type of devotional mentality, Narada would appear and convince him to become a big demon. So first, when Vasudev brought Kirtiman. Now, Kirtiman, we heard was his third incarnation, Prabhupada called. Kirtiman was the son of Kalanemi, who was previously Smara. Now, Smara is a name of Cupid. And these six sons of Marichi. Marichi was born from the mind of Brahma. He was a Manasaputra. And he's called an incarnation of the mind. Now within the mind, there are six enemies. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Madha, matsarya. So the first is calm, because we know even from Bhagavad Gita, from lust comes anger, to calm, krodha, all those things, they come in a line. So Kama, being one of the sons of Marichi, these six sons, they became asuras. And Smara, who was Cupid, who was Kama, he was the first son. So then he got born as the first of the Sad Garbha Asuras from the womb of Devaki. So that time, because Kamsa had displayed some compassion, he said, you can take your son back. After he decided not to kill Devaki on the day of her marriage, they were allowed to go to their house. They weren't put into the prison immediately. So Devaki gave birth to the first son, who was the Smara, Kama, and they had the Namakaran, and his name was Kirtiman in that third birth. And Vasudev, again, duplicitously, although he was so worried what Kamsa would do, because he promised, for him, dishonor was worse than death. And because he had such a great reputation as never breaking his word of honor, he brought that newborn baby after the Namakaran to Kamsa. And then Kamsa, he became compassionate. Demons are not supposed to be compassionate. But he saw this little baby. What's this baby going to do to me? That's all right, you take your baby back. And Narada was listening. Kamsa can't become compassionate. He's supposed to be a great demon. I have to stop him. I have to convince him. He has to kill all these babies. So then Narada came. He said, you don't know. I know all the demigods, they've taken birth in the Yadu, Andaka, Vrishni, Bhoja, Braja. They're all demigods, and they've all appeared just to kill you. So you shouldn't be compassionate. You should kill all the children. Any of them might be Vishnu. So Narada Muni, we can't hold it against him. Why he compelled Kamsa, who had compassion, to instead kill all the children. He did that for the benefit of the demons, so that the demons would all be killed by Krishna and get salvation. So that way, Narada Muni worked both for the demigods, because the demigods were being so much overpowered by the demons, and for the benefit of the demons, because the demons would all get killed then. And the more demoniac they were, the quicker Krishna would come to kill them. So then Kamsa, he started his rampage he threw them in jail, and none of the other five sons, they didn't get to have a Namakaran because they were in jail. They couldn't have a yagya in the jail. Even when Krishna was born, Vasudev couldn't have a yagya in his mind. He did everything. He gave 10,000 cows in charity. But they can't do anything in jail. So none of the other children, as soon as they were born, Kamsa came and killed them. He was following the advice of Narada Muni, because Narada Muni wanted him to become more and more sinful. So then, later, when Krishna saw that these six sons, they had all been killed now, the Sadgarbha Asuras. Now there's an analogy that Prabhupada and the Acharyas give at that time, that Devaki, she is bhakti personified. And Kamsa, he is material fear personified. And within the womb of Devaki were these six unwanted qualities: lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. By her fear, which means Kamsa, Kamsa was able to kill all of these six demons within her womb. Then her womb was purified of the six enemies. And then Krishna called Yogamaya. Now Yogamaya and Mahamaya have two completely different functions. He called Yogamaya, and one small unks of Yogamaya is Mahamaya. So Krishna explained to Yogamaya that you go now, and my expansion, my plenary portion, Shesha, will now enter the womb and make everything ready for me, because that's what Shesha does. He makes all the arrangements for Krishna so that he's comfortable. He's arranging that womb very comfortably so that I can enter the womb. Now I want you to take Shesha and bring him to his eternal mother, Rohini, in Braja. And then I want you to take birth from Yashoda. And then I will come, I'll have Vasudev bring me. It was all pre-planned. Krishna had, he knew what he was going to do. Then I'm going to come, and Vasudev, he's going to take a portion of you, the Mahamaya portion of you, not the Yogamaya portion. He's going to take that Ankh back to Mathura, and then Kamsa, he will try to kill you, and you will be expanded all over the material world, because the materialists worship that particular form of you, the different forms, to get their material desires fulfilled. So according to the Brijbasis, Yogamaya never left Vrindavan, just as according to the Shastras, Krishna never left Vrindavan. His Vasudeva form left Vrindavan at the Kuragat. So Yogamaya, she remained here. There's a little village here called Devi Atas. They say that's where Yogamaya stays after that whole incident happened in Gokul. She came here and she's staying here. So Yogamaya stayed here in her internal energy form, and the external energy form of Mahamaya went there. And then when Kamsa, when he heard that the eighth child was finally born, and he couldn't sleep, he was having dreams, he just was so Krishna conscious, thinking that now Kala has come, the time has come to kill me. I must kill him first. And he thought it was going to be very easy, because he had already so easily killed the other six newborn babies. It was so simple. Just take them, throw them on the ground, they're dead. So he ran to do the same thing. Right from his bedroom, he ran in the middle of the night, picked up the baby, and then Devaki, again, using diplomacy, she didn't start with Sama. She started with Dhamma. She reminded Kamsa, her brother, you've done so many atrocious things. You killed my six children. Here, this innocent little girl, you're not going to be killed by a girl. Let me keep her. Please, I beg you, Dana. So Kamsa, he became a little soft-hearted again. Oh, I'm such a demon. I killed all these children. Let her have the... No, you can't do that. You can't be soft-hearted. You're a demon. So then he decided, no, I spared her life. That was enough. I'm going to make sure that this baby is not going to kill me. So then he lifted her up to dash her on the ground. She flew in the air. She chastised him. And then again, he becomes soft-hearted. He falls at their feet. He begs forgiveness. He's crying that I'm such a sinful demon. I don't know what kind of a hell I'm going to be sent to. Please, I beg you, forgive me. It wasn't me who killed them. It was just... So he's preaching to Vasudev and Devaki. And they know already that Krishna is safe in Yashoda's house. So they're not there. What do they care what Kamsa's saying? Yes, yes, we forgive you. They're smiling. That's all right. We understand. You just were a little illusion. You thought you were your body. So then Kamsa sent them home. And Narada Muni's watching again. He said, Kamsa, you're a demon. You can't show compassion. You can't beg forgiveness for your sinful activities. You have to become more sinful. So then he came again. He said, Kamsa, don't you know? Devi, she told you that your killer has been born somewhere else. That means any babies born within 10 days, you should kill all of them. Even more than 10 days, kill them all. And not only that, I have information for you. I heard that that baby might be in Nanda Maharaj's kingdom. You should start there. Send your first demon there. So this is all Narada Muni telling Kamsa how to be a great demon. This is duplicitousness. This is these devotees are so intelligent because he wanted Kamsa to get salvation. Right? He wanted Kamsa to be such a big demon that Krishna would have to personally come and kill him. So he was planning it. Krishna was planning it. Now Krishna at the same time, because he had two sets of mothers, at the beginning of the creation, there was Prasuti and Sutapa. So they prayed to have Krishna as their son, Vishnu as their son. He had to become their son three times. This is the third time. At the same time, other Prajapatis, that was Drona and Dara, they were praying that we want to have your childhood pastimes manifested because the people of this world will become so attracted to those pastimes that they'll all get liberated. So Krishna had to satisfy both sets of parents. So he quickly took birth and then he immediately went to satisfy the benediction that he gave to Dara and Drona in the form of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So all of these parents and all of the members of the dynasty of Yadu, Andaka, Bhoja, they had all come from heaven to take part, the heavenly planets, to take part in these pastimes. Even Dara, Drona, Sutapa, Prasuti, because they were previously Kashyapa and Aditi in the heavenly planets. So they had all descended to take part. Krishna was there. And now we have Krishna in... We're jumping ahead, of course, but this is to understand Kamsa's mentality. Because he was so Krishna conscious, he was simply meditating, how can I kill Krishna? Now, a devotee, they're thinking 24 hours a day, how can I serve Krishna? And the demon is thinking, how can I kill Krishna? So Kamsa, because Narada Muni was encouraging him to become a greater and greater demon, he was sending all of his ministers to get killed by Krishna, to get liberated. And finally, when Kamsa, because we have to remember, many, many, many generations earlier, Yayati, he had five sons, two sons by Devayani, three sons by Sharmishta. And the first son was Yadu. And at the time of Yadu's birth, it was predicted that the Supreme Lord would take birth in his dynasty. So all the way back from that time, everyone knew that Vishnu was going to take birth in the Yadu dynasty. And when Yayati was cursed by Sukracharya to lose his potency, to lose his youth, Yadu said, I can't give you my youth because Vishnu is going to take birth in my dynasty. If I don't have my youth, how is there going to be a dynasty? So then his other four brothers, there was Yadu, there was Turvasu, there was Anu, there was Puru, and there was another one named Druyu. Now from each one of those five sons of Yayati, came five dynasties. Some of them were demoniac, and some of them were devotional. So from Yadu came the Yadu dynasty. The next one after that was Turvasu. From Turvasu came the Yavanas, the Turks, a very fierce, and even to this day, if you ever meet anyone from Turkey, has anyone ever met anyone from Turkey? Yeah. They'll very proudly tell you that they're Yavanas. There's a big group of them, they live in Germany. They call themselves Yavanas. To this day, they know that they're the Yavana clan, the Turks. Is that true? It's very true. I saw them in Germany when I was there in Kern. They live there. So then the third one, that was Druyu. From Druyu came this Bhoja dynasty. The Bhoja dynasty, they're interested in, they're lower class, but they're still part of they still lived in Dwarka and Uber Sen, he's the king of the Bojas. So from Druyu came the Bojas dynasty. So that's all the way coming from that time. And then next came Anu. From Anu came the Mleches, the Greeks. And then finally came Puru. Puru was the blessed son, and from him came the Pauravas, the Puru dynasty. So all of these dynasties are coming together. They're all from the same great-great-great-great-grandfather, Yayati. And they've all been moving together through the generations. And now here they are in Mathura. The Bojas, the Yadus, the Pauravas, the Andakas, the Vrishnis, they're all here. And Ugrasena has been made the king. And Kamsa, because a demon, is willing to kill anyone to maintain his power. So he used this Beda technique. He divided and conquered all these families. And they all had to flee from Mathura. Ugrasena also had to flee. The Yadus had to flee. Everyone was going. They were going to Kosala, they were going to Videhi, they were going to Nishada, they were going to the Kuru province. They were just trying to get away from Kamsa, because Kamsa was persecuting anyone who had anything to do with the Yadus and the devotees. Now Kamsa's cabinet, the cabinet members, because they were all demoniac, Kamsa understood that Vishnu could not be killed. That's why he attained salvation, because he understood Krishna, that Vishnu could not be killed. His cabinet members, they said, actually, because the Vaishnavas are the parts of Vishnu's body, if you want to kill Vishnu, kill the Vaishnavas. Attack the Brahmins. Kill the cows. If you kill the cows, they won't have ghee. Without ghee, they can't do their sacrifices. If you kill the Brahmins, there won't be any types of religious activities whatsoever. So the demons recommended to Kamsa, if you really want to kill Vishnu, then you have to persecute and kill all the Brahmins, all the saints, all the cows. And that was when total persecution began here. And that was why everyone had to flee this area. Now, there are four types of living beings. There's the saintly. The saintly, they can tolerate any type of, they can live under a tree, they can live in a palace, it doesn't matter. They're just happy engaging in their devotional activities. And then you have the learned person, such as Vasudeva, very learned. He would uphold his righteousness. He would engage in dharma no matter what, because that was his way of life, a learned person. Then you have the demons, such as Kamsa. The demons are completely attached to adharma. And finally, you have the devotees. The devotees will sacrifice anything for Krishna. So Kamsa, we'll read further. Kamsa was now determined to kill the devotees, to kill the cows, and this, in that way, he would be able to kill Vishnu. Hare Krishna.